All right, I am going to pray, and then we'll get into our message this morning. Dear God, I thank you for just each person here. Lord, I know that your spirit has something to say to us, something to convict us or challenge us or call us forward or comfort us. Lord, I just pray that you will do your work among us. We invite him to do that. Lord, I lift up each person here. I pray that each of us will grow in our faith and become all that you want us to be. I thank you that you love us unconditionally. I thank you that you sent Jesus for us. And Lord, I just pray that each of us would embrace that good news and turn and share it with those around us, those within our area of influence. I just ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I love a good story. And I think most people do. I mean, really, you go see a movie, that's about enjoying, immersing yourself in a story. You read a book of fiction, it's enjoying, it's embedding yourself and putting yourself in this imaginary world and being in a story for a time. I think most of us enjoyed as children an ugly duckling becoming a swan, or a wooden puppet marionette becoming a little boy. Or maybe more recently, watching timid hobbits become heroes and save the Middle Kingdom in that trilogy of film. Or what about a baby who was orphaned in the jungle and raised by apes and becomes a hero? I think most of us enjoy and love a great story. And I'll tell you right now, I'm a sucker for a true story. I enjoy fictional stories, but a true story that grabs me and encourages me and gives me hope, I love that. And I think true stories are the best. And we love that. I think there's a reason that much of the Bible is narrative. And it's story after story of people interacting with God, of Jesus having encounters with different people. Just this week, I was reading a true story about American swimmer Michael Phelps, who they say is the most decorated Olympian of all time. And he apparently really spiraled down a couple years ago and had to go into like a rehab facility and was just dark. He was in a place of real darkness and hopelessness and thought about even taking his life. And yet he entered that facility. Somebody gave him, or somehow he got his hands on, a book by a Christian author called The Purpose-Driven Life that points people to Christ and living out our purpose in life. And so that grabbed a hold of him, and it gave him hope, and it helped him and helped him move forward. As a matter of fact, some who were in the rehab with him started calling him, they called him Preacher, because he kept quoting from this book and sharing segments from it. And I love when you see hope step into darkness. I was watching a video this week of an author and speaker named Christine Kane, and she talks about kind of the dark facts of her life. And she said, you know, there wasn't a lot of hope. There were things I could have just really grabbed hold of and not done with much with my life. She said, you know, she said, I have documentation. She said, I have the facts of hopelessness in my life. She said, she was from Australia, and she said the Department of Community Service, you know, she has her birth certificate. And on it, it says name, and then next to it, it just says unnamed. That her mother just didn't even bother to give her a name. And she said, I have my part of my file from the medical professionals that worked with me when I was a little baby and before I was adopted. And she said, I have this letter where the caseworker writes that I was unwanted. She said, so I'm unnamed and I'm unwanted. And she said, then later, after I was adopted and my life did eventually get better, she said, I went to college and I have a letter, I have an assessment from the Dean of Social Work at the University of South Wales, and my dream was to run a nonprofit. And she said, I have this letter from this dean that says that I am unqualified to ever run a nonprofit. She said, so I was unnamed, unwanted, and unqualified. And she said, but Jesus Christ stepped into my story and began to write a better story for me. And today she and her husband lead what's called Acts 21 campaign, and they A21 campaign, and it basically helps liberate people out of slavery around the world. They have 14 offices in 12 different countries. She writes books, she speaks, and she is a person of hope because Jesus Christ stepped into her story and began to write a better story. You know, all of us have a story. All of us. And if Christ has stepped into it, if we've allowed him into our lives, then that story gets better and better. God ties us into his grander story. I love Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, where it talks about fighting against the forces of evil. And it says this of the people of God, they triumphed over him, that's the devil and evil, by the blood of the Lamb. So that's the work of the cross, that we're forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. And by the word of their testimony. That's their story. That's your story. That's my story. How God steps into our lives and writes a better story. I love the Gospels because it's so often one encounter with Jesus after another. You see so many different people. I think of in John chapter 9, the man who was born blind, and Jesus rubs some mud on his eyes and heals him and gives him his sight. And the religious leaders who hated Jesus and were opposed to him, they began to question him, and they're angry, and they're saying negative things about Jesus. And this man whose eyes were open, because they're calling Jesus a sinner and a terrible person. I mean, he's their Messiah. He's the only person who never did sin, who lived a perfect life, who was both God and man. And yet these opponents of Jesus, these enemies, were saying all this. And I love what this man says, this man whose eyes were open. In John chapter 9, it says, he said, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. And listen, this is his story. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I love that. I was blind, but now I see. Jesus can step into your story and he can step into mine and he can give us a better story. I mentioned last week the Gerasene demoniac, this guy who's running around crazy, living in a cemetery, and Jesus drives demons out of him, gives him peace, and people from the community show up and they're like, he's in his right mind, what is going on here? And he wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus said, no, you're not going to leave with us, you're going to go back to your family, you're going to go back to your village, you're going to go back to your town and tell people what God has done in your life. In essence, Jesus said, go tell your story. You see, we want to be a church that's about real outreach. We don't want to just keep the good news of Jesus Christ to ourselves. We want to be intentional. We want to make sure that we use one of the most powerful things at our disposal, which is what God has done in your life, your story. And so I just encourage you to think about that. I love the story of Saul, a proud, hate-filled religious leader, a Pharisee, someone who hated the church, the early church, so much that he would imprison them. He approved when Christians were killed, all this terrible stuff. And he volunteered to even leave Jerusalem, go to another city and persecute the Christians there. While on the way, he sees the risen Christ. He meets Jesus, who's come out of his own grave. He sees him, and his life is radically and completely changed. And proud Saul becomes humble Paul. Hate-filled Saul becomes hope-filled Paul. The great apostle who went all over the Mediterranean area sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, planting churches and writing much of the New Testament. And everywhere he got an opportunity, he told his story. Now, most of us don't have a story that's that dramatic like Paul. I certainly don't. I grew up in a Christian home. As a little kid, my father was a minister, and my mom was real active in the church. And so I honestly don't remember a time where I didn't believe in Jesus. I really don't. I kind of say I was born in a pew, and depending how the building project goes, I'll die in a movie theater seat. But, you know, kind of that whole span. We'll get in chairs in that building by the end of the year. That's what we want. But you have a story that's worth telling. Now, I usually talk for about 30 minutes up here, and I'm not going to do that this morning. You're gonna share. So Dave Goff has a microphone, and if you just want to share a little bit of your story, it's got to be brief. But how Christ has made a difference in your life, if you're willing to share something, just raise your hand and Dave will get his aerobic workout and run to you. And you can just tell us very briefly. Two things. One, be brief. Second, do remember the children are with us. Some of us have lived colorful lives in our pre-Christian days. So be mindful.
Well, I'll be brief. You've been talking about discipleship and talking to people. And our journey started with Marcy. I don't know where she's at, but where's she at? Marcy. She invited us to a video thing. I don't know if you remember or not, but it was called Heaven's Gate and Hell's... No. What is it? Heaven's Gate... No, yeah, Heaven's Gate and Hell's Flames. And it was a video, and it talked about like little skits about people drinking, just inappropriate stuff, you know, just partying, whatever. And that's kind of where my journey started, as being a Christian. And if it hadn't been for my wife's friend, Marcy, I probably wouldn't be standing here today. So it's important when you talk to somebody to don't be afraid to ask them that. But 19 years ago is when I was baptized, March 17th, and I'm not perfect. I have a lot to go, but I'm learning every day, you know, seeing people. And sometimes I wonder, you know, why am I here? And I still question that. I work at the youth facility, and I see a lot of horrible things that people have done to other people, and I always question it. What can I do to help this person understand that, you know, his life can still continue on, he can still be productive and things like that? So don't be afraid to speak to somebody and just reach out to somebody either to help, just to listen, to whatever. But that's kind of my deal.
So who else wants to share how Christ has made a difference in your life? How he's answered a prayer, or you've seen healing, or whatever?
God has a plan, and that's, I don't always believe that, and I didn't always believe that at the time, but I believe it now. I've had several things happen to me throughout my life, and usually it's the major things when I realize that God is really there. The first time that, when I had the most doubt, I didn't believe in God anymore, and I didn't think he was going to be there for me, and I was in the darkest place, is probably when I was about 23 years old. I had a serious alcohol problem, and I pretty much given up on everything. Finally, after about 2 months of treatment, I decided to pray. And I prayed to God, and I asked him to forgive me, and I said that I believe in you. The next day, it felt to me that the whole world had lifted off my shoulders, and I was cleansed of every bad thing that had happened. I got through that program, and I didn't drink again for a very long time. Okay. The next thing, a pretty major event that I had was... I was blown up by a bomb. I was in Iraq, and an IED blew up about 15 feet away from me. Somebody next to me died. I didn't. I had shrapnel go through my face and all over my body. I was blown up pretty good. I was knocked out. Again, that was dark, not just from the clouds of smoke that was around me, but I felt I could have died. That was a major change in my life. It completely changed the way I viewed life, the way I looked at things. I started praying again. It sent me into a direction that I needed to steer my life to, and I had to appreciate and really look at what God's plan was for me. The next thing was I kind of transitioned, and I moved on, and I met my wife. And I think that's all part of God's plan. We have two beautiful children, and I have my daughter who just graduated high school today that I'm able to be here for and experience that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Woody. Thank you, Chris. Anyone else? How has God made a difference in your life, or answered a prayer, or started you on the road of healing?
I'd just like to give a testimony to my Savior, Jesus, who's so faithful to me. One is, there's a psalm that says that God sets the solitary in families. And I was 41 years old when I got married. At that time, I never thought I would get married. But now I have 6 kids. and it's like I stand there and look around, you know, with my family, and I wonder, I say, well, look at what God has done. Used drugs when I was a teenager, a pretty heavy drug user. All my friends thought I was going to be a burnout. You know, they don't tell you that, but among themselves, you know, they talk, and oh boy, Evan, you know, he's going down, you know. But God had a different story. You know, one time I was walking across a bridge, and he spoke in my heart. I was about 16, 17 years old. He said, Evan, he said, I have a life for you. I'm like, it was just like the one time I hadn't been high for like I don't know how long. And I'm like, wow, who said that? I'm looking around. And I realized that was God. And it got me searching for him. Now what I find, you know, in my time of sin or my time of trial, when I pray to God, I find him there. The first thing that he says when I come to him is, Evan, I love you. His Holy Spirit, he's put in my heart as a deposit that he'll never take away. And his faithfulness, how he's carrying me now, I become more and more confident every day that that's the same faithfulness that's going to carry me into eternity. My parents have friends who are dying on a pretty, you know, regular basis. It's kind of hard for them. And it's hard for me, too, because I know these people, and also I know my parents, that they're also getting close to that time. But so many of them have a faith in God. You know, they say, I know that Jesus is the Savior of the world. They may not go to church and they may not be perfect people, but they have this confidence in God that he's able to save them. And I believe that that confidence has, you know, all the power of the universe to bring them into the Almighty's presence and to cleanse them of their sin, that blood of Jesus. So I'm just so grateful for what my Savior has done for me.
Thank you, Evan.
Jesus is awesome. I agree. Okay, short. I'm Debbie. I'm Stan's sister. And we had a crazy upbringing. My dad was insane. A hopeless drug addict and an atheist and a brilliant stand-up comedian. but he was very abusive. And so what I saw in our family was my mother was abused often and in so many different ways. And I saw that as womanhood. I saw that as how women are supposed to be treated and loved as a slave. and when I saw my dad, I didn't want to be like my dad. I didn't want drugs in my life. I didn't want to touch them ever. I was disgusted by what I saw in my home. So I was determined to have the life of Andy Griffith Show. That was the only thing that I had that was normal in my childhood. So that's what I wanted so desperately. I got saved at 16. First time I'd ever heard the Bible. First time I ever heard that God loved me. But I knew that that was the truth, and I needed him in my life. So shortly after that, I was out on my own. And I thought magically, because I was out on my own, that I would have this magic wisdom of adulthood sprinkled on me. And I could figure things out because I knew what I wanted. I wanted to have a normal life, like in Mayberry with Andy Griffith. So I did everything I could to have that life. And I would pray as best I could. I would read scripture, but it really wasn't making sense to me. And by my own power, I kept trying and trying to have this life that I thought I could have. But I was powerless. I couldn't see through my childhood where I knew in my heart that I thought I was worthless. I thought that I was powerless. And because of the power of the familiar, I ended up being in relationships with men that were just like my dad. And I began becoming just like my mom, enslaved. I was required to do things against my will constantly. And then I became a drug addict. So in my faith, this is all that happened. When I hit my bottom, when I finally came to the end of myself, where I realized I couldn't forge this life that I so desperately wanted. I hit my bottom, is what they call a rock bottom. I landed up here in Alaska almost 3 years ago and went through horrible withdrawals on my brother's couch. But then, because I no longer was trying with all my will and my effort, Jesus could step in. And I said, God, please help me. Show me. show me how to do this, because I don't know how to do this. And it's a process, a slow process, but it's so wonderful. And I now believe that when I reached my bottom, when I reached the end of me and my efforts, and I was able to say, God, I am so weak. I am so weak. He said, now I can work with you. Here's my strength. Just rest, rest in me. And by resting in him, I am powerful. He has empowered me with his strength. I can be wise in him because it's his wisdom, not mine, not the Andy Griffith wisdom. It's his wisdom that I live in. So I don't stand here as a person who has post-traumatic stress disorder, a survivor of domestic violence, a recovered drug addict. I stand here today as a beloved daughter of the King of Kings. Jesus has made a huge difference in my life.
Anyone else?
When I was little, my mother took me to Sunday school. My father was Catholic, and he did not attend with us, and we never talked about church at home. So even though I knew who baby Jesus was, and I knew what happened on Easter, I never really understood it. I just didn't get it. So life marched on that way. Looking back now, I clearly see that what I wanted and needed was Jesus in my life. Almost 13 years ago, I had a brain aneurysm that almost got me. I was medevaced to Seattle, underwent surgery, and was told that the odds were against me, and it did not look promising. At the very least, I was facing a long recovery and a trip to Colorado for extensive rehab. I don't remember having any fear, and I always felt that everything was going to be okay. Well, I started to improve and never look back. 3 weeks later, I was home for Thanksgiving with my family. It was still a long recovery. Sorry, I need my notes. But that first year, I was given the book, The Message, for Christmas, and with a definite nudge from God, I read through the Old Testament and then the New Testament in my Bible. It was a struggle, but a good one. My neighbor, who just happened to be Deli's cousin, introduced me to Derek and Deli at the fair that year before Journey got started. And when I was ready, Journey was there for me. Slowly but surely, through making great friends, volunteering, attending services, small groups, and Bible studies, I have realized that I now get it. I am connected. I can define my faith with confidence, talk about it, and share it with others. So praise and gratitude to Journey, and most of all, to Jesus for leading me through. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
My name is Jan, and I divorced my former spouse after 20 years of being shouted at, hit, and humiliated. For 2 years, I went to a counselor, and he prayed with me at every visit, and he consistently reminded me that Jesus Christ was with me. I met and I married Rich. I moved from Florida to Alaska, and God was there. Throughout this entire time, I lived in fear. I was constantly trying to predict behaviors because that would help me be safe. I didn't understand that I needed to stop doing that. I am not afraid anymore. And I love being here at Journey because here is where I'm safe. But not because of Journey, but because of Christ.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Jim. Any others?
I grew up in the same kind of situation that Derek did, although my family, my dad's not a pastor, but he's a really godly Christian man, and my mom's a wonderful Christian lady, and I really can't remember a time when I didn't know the Lord and believe in him either. But I didn't always walk really close with him, even though I never lost any faith in him. But God is really faithful because when I was in high school, I worked with a girl, and she didn't know the Lord. And the one time I did something with her outside of work, I took her to a party. And about 4 years later, she died drunk driving. And I remember thinking to myself, I so blew it with her. Because what I should have done was taken her to a youth group or to church or somewhere where she could have met the Lord. And she probably wouldn't have died drinking and driving. But you know, the Lord is so faithful because he's allowed me to share my faith and him, most importantly, with other people. And Woody, I just wanted to say thank you for encouraging me.
Okay. Thank you, Marcy. You can give her a hand. All right. I think we're good. Okay. Well, thank you for doing that. I know that it's hard to share. Supposedly in surveys I read, the number one fear in America is public speaking, which I think is interesting. But in your bulletin, and I'm not going to really walk through this much, but in your bulletin is kind of not a sermon outline, but an activity sheet. And just to give you something to think about, you know, how can we be outwardly focused? How can, you know, those of you who are Christians, what can you do to share your faith with others? And one of the best things is just think through your story. How has God acted in your life? How has he made a difference with you? And so I just give you a sheet that could help you kind of put that together. It just gives you a couple handles on your story, like before Christ, meeting Christ, and you know how did that play out? Who had an influence on you? And after Christ and the changes that have happened. And obviously, it's a little different. I mean, somebody like me who grew up in the church, who has always believed, that's a little different story. So I spend a lot of time when I talk to somebody, I tell about how God provided for us in a miraculous way, or how my father had leukemia and then God healed him of that. I tell those kind of stories, those God moments. But for those of you that have kind of a clear, before I became a Christian, and you know, that was a very distinct life, and then after a very distinct life, that's a nice thing. And there's some questions at the bottom of that sheet that can help you kind of think through it. The big thing is, just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and think through what you share with folks and try to be brief. It's better to leave them wanting more than wanting less, you know. So, but it is powerful and profound when someone says, look, I was blind and now I can see. You know, I was without hope and now I have the certainty of heaven and I feel I'm living a life of purpose and meaning. And so I just encourage you to be outwardly focused and to think through that. The reality is that all of us have a story that God intends for us to be able to tell. And God wants to keep writing a better story in your life and in my life and to incorporate us into his grand story, the story of Jesus, the story of redemption, the story that leads to the new heavens and the new earth. And I just, at every seat, there should be a pin. And I just want you to think about this. You can take this with you because we really splurged to get these big pins. But anyway, but I want you to think about this. This is a simple reminder. What story are you writing? That's something to think about. But more important than that is, are you willing to give God the pen? Are you really willing to let the author, the greatest author, write your story? We have free will. Our hand's going to be on the pen, but are we willing to trust him? Are we willing to let him write the story he wants for our lives? And it's hard to do that. But I just want you to take this and think about it and say, am I going to let the great author write me into the grandest story that has ever been? Because we all love a good story, especially when it's true. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for each person here. I thank you for each of their stories, each of their testimonies. Lord, I'm grateful for those who have shared. It's hard to do that. It requires vulnerability. But Lord, help us to be sensitive to those around us. And when there are opportunities, Lord, we do need to invite people to church. That's a great method. But Lord, we need to be able to go deeper, to share what Christ has done in us. Maybe it's to break a habit, an addiction. Maybe it's to give us hope. Maybe it's to call us into purpose and meaning, to give us a specific calling in life. Maybe it's healing, whether physical or emotional. But Lord, I pray that we will tell our stories that point unashamedly to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. This is our prayer. And I ask this in the name of your Son. Amen.